Big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lock. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick 'em pod from MMA tapes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Woo! MMA Takes Podcast. What's up with the what's up? Your boy's coming in hot. I literally just walked in the house from getting off work. I've woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Your boy's a little chippy today. Got a chip on his shoulder. And goddamn, I got to talk about it. I gotta do something. You know what I mean? So I want to hop on, get this pick'em out of the way. It's Wednesday afternoon-ish. You know what I mean? And I'm coming in hot. I am coming in hot. I got two things. Brian complaints. Then we'll get to this fight card. Okay. The fight card, I think, you know, I would never do this on a pay-per-view week, but I think the fight card can wait. It's thin. It is a thin girl, right? It's a thinny, tough spots. And my only recommendation before we get into the fight card, my only thing is don't go too heavy. Don't do it. Not on this one. Bankroll management, couple plays. All right, so your boy's coming in hot for two reasons. Let's start with the United States Postal Service, you fucking crooks. So I'm waiting for something in the mail, right? And where I live, we've been here 7 years. After the first 2 years, I decided to sign up for informed delivery. If you don't know what it is, I'm about to tell you. The Postal Service takes a picture of every mail that's coming to your mailbox that day. They scan it, they, you know, whatever, and they email it to you. So you know what's coming, because I was getting a lot of shit. My grandmother would send nice little cards to me, and she's got some really old school handwriting, and it would never show up, right? You know, whatever. It was fucking the worst. So I signed up for informed delivery. So every morning around 8 a.m., I get an email of what's coming to the thing. So I'm waiting for something important, okay? Waiting for something important to come. You don't need to know what it is. Just know it's important, and you know what I mean. I ain't gonna go into more details. Just know that I want what's coming to me. Saw a picture of it, got excited. Boy could use that. You know what I mean? So yesterday, wife goes and picks up the daughter from school. Gets home about 11:30. Our mail usually comes about 2, 3 to 4. It varies every day. But the mailman was on our street at 11:30. I'm like, ooh. Here we go. I go out and greet the kids and everything like that. We live in a little circle. Mailman's out there. I don't know if he makes a delivery. He's just parked there. I hug my daughter or whatever. I'm walking toward the mailbox, ready to accept what I got coming to me. You know, here we go. Motherfucker just drives off. So I don't know what he's doing, right? I'm like, what are you doing? You're already on the street. Make the deliveries. I'm in the biz. I know. So I go, you know what? It is a little early. They typically come between, you know, like I said, between 2 and 4. Let's say 2 and 4. So your boy does the podcast with Anakin Florian yesterday. And usually I lay down and take a little nap with my daughter, you know, my little baby daughter. Don't do that. I go, no. I'm staying up. I'm excited. You know what I mean? Or nervous. Whatever. So I sit on my couch and I watch the window like a fucking dog. Like a dog waiting for his owners to get home. The mailman never shows up. I sat there. You know, I was in the office too, which I got a window right here. You know, I'm always looking out the window like a fucking lost puppy, right? Mailman never shows up. I don't get any mail. So then I take it a step further because I'm crazy. I start knocking on doors of neighbors. I don't talk to my neighbors, right? I'm a bad neighbor, right? I cut my grass. I go in my house. That's it. I don't talk to people. So I go bouncing around. Did you get mail today? You get mail today. You know, the people, they answer like, let me check. No, I didn't get mail today. Then I see the people up the street, right? As I'm watching out the window like a fucking lost puppy, they go to their mailbox, open the mail, no mail. We're just not getting mail today, right? So I went to bed a little upset. I went to bed very early last night. So I'm keyed up because I'm probably well rested. So I woke up today, checked the informed delivery, because you can check it before they email it to you. Another batch of mail is coming, but what I had yesterday is not coming today. They're thinking that's already whatever. I've already tried to talk with someone. I've already tried to chat with someone. I've already marked it as not delivered, whatever the fuck you want to do. So I get up and I go to work early in the morning. It's pitch black when I go to work. And, you know, again, I live in the cul-de-sac and that's where the mailman was. So this is where your boy, I'm exposing how fucking crazy I am. When I leave for work, I usually go this way. I don't go in the cul-de-sac. I go out the neighborhood. I go in the cul-de-sac where the mailman was at that I saw yesterday. And it's pitch black. I get my flashlight out on my phone. I start looking in fucking mailboxes. That's a federal crime. That's a federal crime. I start looking at mailboxes. No mail. Man, maybe got misdelivered, whatever. No mail. So I get to work. And, you know, I'm chippy at work. I'm kind of getting into what people at work, you know, a little chip, 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 just in a bad mood, right? So right by my work is the main distribution of the Postal Service, right? It's a huge hub down right downtown where I work. So I pop in. You know, I'm browned up. I'm in the biz. I pop in. Lady talks to me. She goes, yeah, we're the main hub. Where do you live at? Looks at the computer. She goes, okay, yeah, so you get sent to Crookshank, which is a road. And I know exactly where that mail, that the main hub post office, it's, you know, she goes, that's where all your stuff gets sent. So I'll give you the number. Great, thank you. Calls the number. I don't like talking to people on the phone if I don't have to. I'm not a phone guy. Text me. I would love to chat with you on the chat. Let's exchange some emails, whatever. But I'm hot. I'm keyed up. And so I call. And I get don't want to be racially profiling because everyone's different, but it sounded like I got a very sassy black woman on the phone, right? Cool. I love sassy black women, right? As long as they're on my side. So she answers the phone very rudely, and I explain my situation. She goes, you can't call and complain unless it's been a week. I said, what? She goes, I said, wait, no, I have informed delivery and it was supposed to come yesterday. She goes, if you have informed delivery, you will know at the bottom of the informed delivery, it says, do not say you have missing mail for a week. And I go, that doesn't help me right now. I'm waiting for something very important. And I kind of fib. I say it's from like a lawyer and, you know, whatever. I start kind of lying to her, you know, to make it seem more important than what it really is. She goes, well, I don't know what to tell you. You got to wait a week and then you can call and complain. But before that, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? What? And then kind of like abruptly hangs up on me. So that just pisses me off. So I am going to confront the mailman today. If I don't get what I was supposed to get yesterday, I'm supposed to, you know, I'm getting like hospital bills today. So I'm going to confront the mailman. I got all the windows open. It's a very beautiful day in Cincinnati right now. And when he comes down that street, I'm just going to be happening to be taking my garbage out that time, right? That's if he comes today. He might be afraid. Big Bad Wolf scared him off. And then what I think's keyed me up more is the whole IRS thing, right? So this is just a government fucking podcast. We have an accountant. My wife has a very particular job where we pay taxes. We do that, but you know what I mean? It is what it is. And we got to have an accountant do our taxes. You know, hers taxes aren't so straightforward. Last year we owed Ohio, the state of Ohio, money. And I said, cool, we'll just take it out of the federal, whatever. This year we filed our taxes 2 weeks ago from today. And Ohio goes, hey, you owe us X amount of money. And we're like, okay, cool. We'll pay you when the federal comes. No, that ain't going to work this year. Rules changed. You got to pay us now or you get a penalty. What? So you don't fuck with taxes. You pay them, whatever. And then on top of it, they tell me I'm checking the IRS refund page, right? And they tell you since I'm a homeowner and I get a home credit and I have two children and I get a childhood credit that I won't get my taxes till mid to late February. Cool. Cool. Just let me be updated. Let me know what's going on. When is it coming, right? I've never waited more than 8 to 10 days since we've been working with this accountant, right? So I've been checking that IRS refund thing every fucking day. And it just says, hey, the new PATH Act says that you don't get your taxes until mid to late February. Cool, cool, cool. Last time I checked, February had fucking 28 days. Yesterday was the 14th. Today's the 15th. That's mid. I checked it. I'm so fucking crazy and persistent. I checked it so many times yesterday. I got a message that says, hey, literally, I swear to God, it said, you have you're over your limit of the amount of times you've checked. So come back tomorrow. It updates once a day, usually at night. So they literally were like, yeah, done. We're done with you. Quit fucking checking, bro. Quit checking, bro. Oh my God. It's crazy. So I think I'm keyed up for that. Then the mail situation, and I'm just all fucking, I'm ready to, I'm going to go hit the bag after I'm done with this. Wait for the mail. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get all sweaty. I'm going to hit the bag in the garage, right? And I'm going to walk up to the mailman, full on boxing gloves, maybe MMA gloves on, and be like, yo, where's that mail out from yesterday, bro? Problem is I don't look very intimidating, right? You know, so that's the problem. I don't look intimidating, but man, if I'm going to, listen, he's in the business. I'm in the business, right? I'm not going to. I'm going to try to be nice to him, but your boy's been chippy all day. All right, let's get to these fights. Again, thin card. Have to pick your spots. Have to pick your spots. You got to pick them. Again, my recommendation for everyone is do not go heavy on this card because, boy, you could lose your money. One last thing I just remembered. Patrick Friend and John Friend, they are friends of the show. I don't know them personally. They like the show. They DM me all the time. Great dudes. Love MMA. You know, they're fans of the show. I appreciate that. I was talking with John in the DMs yesterday. His brother Patrick goes to Michigan State University where there was a shooting. He's okay, thankfully. But that is traumatizing. That is absolutely one of the worst things in the world. And I can't even imagine what his classmates are going through at Michigan State. That, you know, I mourn for the people that have passed away. I believe last time I saw it was three, could be more. Either way, though, shout out to Patrick Friend. Thank you for being a friend of the show. I mean, I had to do it. And I hope you keep your head up, man. I know that's an impossible situation. I've never been through that. Well, kind of. There was a shooting in Cincinnati, but I wasn't involved, but it did shake me. A coworker of mine was there, and luckily everyone I knew was safe. But it's just senseless violence, and I fucking hate it, and it's one of the worst parts. I mean, I could go on a 20-minute whole fucking rant here and maybe get canceled, but I'm not going to do that. But shout out to the Friend brothers. Great dudes. And you know, we're Midwest. You're up Michigan. I have a lot. My family's originally from Michigan, so I got a lot of love for guys from Michigan. Respect to those guys. And Patrick, let's do it, bro. Huh? Here's some winners for you, bud. Okay. First fight of the night. Juan Camilo, I believe is how you pronounce his name. Let me fucking nail this. Juan Camilo Ronderos. God, dude. I think I found my niche of names. I can't pronounce any names. Juan Camilo Ronderos. I mean, I don't speak Spanish, but juice. And Clayton Carpenter, that's a relief pitcher from the minor leagues. Clayton Carpenter. Juan Camilo plus 235, Clayton Carpenter minus 280. Juan Camilo 4-1. And I looked on tape in this guy and I'm like, okay, 4-1. What are you bringing to the table that I need to know? And there's not really much. I mean, he debuted against David Dovrak and got submitted in the first round. I don't know why this guy's in the UFC. I fully don't understand it. He might be friends with somebody. He trains at Extreme Couture, might be very talented, but when you're 4-0, you're 4-0 coming to UFC, you get a David Dovrak, and you get submitted in the first round. I don't know. I don't understand the signing. You got Clayton Carpenter coming in, undefeated fighter, 3-0 in the LFA, good promotion, 1-0 from the Contender Series. Looked pretty good, looked pretty scrappy. All around kind of a solid fighter. You know, he doesn't excel, I think, anywhere. I think he's an MMA fighter, right? He's good everywhere. That's his base, is MMA. Coming out of the MMA lab in Arizona, which is a good camp. I'm going to take Carpenter here. I'm not going to dance around too much. Like, I know a ton about these guys, but Clayton Carpenter minus 280 throws paws at me a little bit. UFC debut going against Juan Camilo here, but I just don't think Juan Camilo, at least what I've seen on tape, when I've seen the cage, I just don't know what he's doing here. You know what I mean? I don't know what he's doing here. So give me Clayton Carpenter. I just think he's going to be more well-rounded than him. I don't know if a finish is coming. He is pretty good on the ground, Carpenter. Juan Camilo got his neck taken by Dovrak, who was a very good 125er. I don't know if I'm going to play a prop, but minus 280 is a little too high for me. So maybe we'll see, because there's not a lot of room on this card to kind of pass on fights. You know, you got to kind of go in a little blind a little bit. You know, there's a lot of people we don't know about on this card. At least I don't. I had to research them. So, Clayton Carpenter, minus 280, a little high for me for a newcomer. But, you know, I think it's going to be a pretty safe pick overall. All right, next up, AJ Fletcher, minus 255. And here's a name I'm not going to be able to pronounce. Themba Gorimbo. I think I fucking nailed that. South African, I believe, from Zimbabwe. Trains out of South Africa, yeah, Johannesburg. And this guy miffs me, right? Because he's 32 years old, making his UFC debut. just fought decent competition. South Africa is kind of a little small bubble right now. You know what I mean? They kind of got a scene down there. Obviously, Don Magic came out of there, a couple other fighters or whatever. But usually they're good kickboxers or MMA guys. This guy is primarily a submission guy, primarily a ground guy. 32 years old, just now getting a shot in the UFC. I don't love it, if I'm being honest with you. AJ Fletcher, though, this guy has been a disappointment since the Contender Series. You know, flying knee on the Contender Series, first round. Dustin Poirier fucking co-signs this guy. Little undersized for the division, if you ask me. Goes against Sellensberger, is a solid dude, right? Loses, but gasses. Goes against Angelusa, who's made improvements, a big guy for the weight. Gasses, lose. Good wrestler with the itty bitty reach. He got little T-Rex arms. You know, this is Fletcher, right? I think this guy needs to drop weight. Drop some weight. 55 is a weight class. A little too much muscle. You're gassing out everywhere. Your arms are this big. But he's got power. And I think there are some skills there, but we haven't seen. He's on 2-fight losing streak. But you're giving me a huge number here. I'm going to take Fletcher. And this was almost a slimeball candidate. Almost a send home. Because Themba is just not something that I want to bet on. Sure, he's crafty in the ground. I wouldn't say he's like the best in the ground. He's got some submissions. But I just don't trust it, man. I just don't trust it from where he's from, what part of the world, and what I've seen. I don't love it. So give me AJ Fletcher. I still think this could be a good parlay piece. Because, again, I think AJ Fletcher, you know, he's on a 2-fight losing streak. He's tough as nails. He's not going to quit. Good luck trying to armbar those arms. He doesn't have a neck, right? And Themba, a lot of his wins are from armbar. You're not getting armbar in this guy, right? So give me Fletcher. Not overly confident, not locking him up, not doing anything, but give me Fletcher, and let's move on with our day. Next up, Nazim Sadikov, Ray Longo boy, Nas, minus 170. I think he's gone up a little bit, against Evan Elder, plus 145. So, I'm on Nas here.
My mortal lock. Lock him up.
Not a lot of mortal locks that you can take. Obviously, I could take Maria Bueno Silva. She's like minus 500. You know, obviously Andrade is a solid pick as well. We'll get to that. But minus 170 on Nas, who looked great on the Contender Series, coming from a high-level camp, training machines. Name one person that's come from Longo's camp that isn't well-conditioned, well-trained, everything, right? This dude has a knockout in the third round over that dude with a great story from Afghanistan. That's now a Team Alpha Male guy. Nas dominated the entire fight, put him out in the third round. And Evan Elder is just a guy that's never really just kind of jumped off the page to me. I think he's kind of basic. Coming from the Killcliff FC camp down in Florida, training with some good guys, but Preston Parsons' decision loss, yeah. Your last win was against a guy who's 9-16 by strikes. You know, he's fairly well-rounded. He's got some knockouts, got some, but over nobody's. 0-0, 0-1, 2-1, 6-5, 4-1. Cool. 9-16, lost to Preston Parsons. You know, I just, let me see this 4-1 guy. What? So the guy's 4-2 now, Paris Padilla, who, I mean, this guy's fighting nobody's too. So, yeah, I mean, Nas, you got to hammer Nas in this situation. You got to hammer Nas. And I cannot bet a guy with the last name Elder. I have a lot of Cincinnati listeners now. I've been getting DMs from guys from Cincinnati like, hey, man, doing Cincinnati proud. I went to Oak Hills High School. Our rivals is Elder. They kick our ass in football. They kick our ass in, well, at least two when I went to school. Kick our ass in baseball, basketball, whatever. They're an all-boys Catholic school. But Oak Hills knows how to party, bro. We threw the party. We got chicks. You're in an all-dude school. We got the chicks. Get out of here, Elder. Give me Nas. Hammer Nas. Mortal lock. And slimeball candidate. Woo! Number one. All right, next up, you got Ovin St. Preux, OSP, plus 190 versus Felipe Lins, who is plus 145. Let me tell you something about Felipe Lins. Oh, excuse me, minus 145. Nope, got it wrong, Red. Let me do that again. OSP, plus 190. Felipe Lins, minus 225. Way too high for Felipe Lins. He came in the UFC a little touted, right? You know, coming from the PFL, had a nice little run in the PFL, comes in the UFC, and you got to look at this guy's topology, right? Comes in the UFC, loses to Andre, loses to Tanner Bozier, right? Bozier knocks him out round one. Andre, listless performance. Just terrible. Before that, he was doing well in the PFL, right? Lost in Bellator. Has been everywhere. Bellator, PFL, and UFC. So then after the Bozier fight, cancel bout Dante Mays, cancel bout Ben Rothwell, cancel bout Ben Rothwell, cancel bout Ben Rothwell, cancel bout Ovince St. Preux, cancel bout Azamat Murazikov, gets the Prokhorov fight where he wins by decision, cancel Maxine Grisham, cancel OSP again. So this guy's just canceling, and I'm canceling him. Give me OSP plus 190. Yes, please. I mean, OSP looked like dog shit his last time out. You know, he's a big dude. He's getting older. He's 38, 39 years old, but I just can't trust Felipe Lins. You know, he's a striker at heart. He wants to strike. OSP, if, you know, if he commits to his strikes, he's got good kicks. I think this can be an interesting fight for him. Lins does have a little bit of a get up at times. He can strike and make it uncomfortable, but OSP's a vet. He's been in there with everyone. And you're hanging plus 190 on him. Yeah, I'm going to take him. That's going to be a small play. Again, I like a lot of dogs in this card. I don't, you know, this is a fight. How can you not bet OSP? Because Felipe Lins has just been an absolute train wreck. He's been in the UFC. And if you look at his skills, again, he looked good prior to the UFC. Has not really looked good in the UFC. And what's with all these canceled bouts, bruh? What's going on, man? Give me OSP. Next up, we got Jamel Emmers, plus 105. And this guy's name is tough as well. Again, these Russian names get me. Kusain Ashgabov. Ashgabov? I think I fucking nailed it. So Ashgabov's a guy I had to look up, minus 125. Jamel Emmers, a very good grappler, very good wrestler. A little bit of a chin problem, a little bit of a fight IQ problem, but overall, solid dude. He's got some good wins over some really good guys. I look up Ashgabov, or Bov, probably Bov, right? Ashgabov. And this guy just, he's been fighting forever. He's 23-0, and I'm like, what is taking this guy so long to get to the UFC? He's been fighting since 22. He's been fighting for, what, 13 years? What was it? Should have wrote that down, man. He's been fighting since 2012. 11 years he's been fighting. He's undefeated. Scott finishes every which way. Flying knee, rear naked choke, armbar, heel hook, decision, punches, guillotine, anaconda. So either this guy was in a contract with a promotion over on, you know, he looks like he's fought everywhere, right? So he was either locked in a contract with a Russian promotion, Brazil, whatever it is, European promotion. He was either locked in or the UFC just passed on him. It's like, we have too many Russians. They do that sometimes. But what I've seen on tape is he's pretty good. His wrestling, I think, is okay. I think Jamel Emmers could definitely expose his wrestling. But going against Russian guys nowadays is just not a good look, right? I think this guy's explosive on the feet. I think he's powerful. I think his striking is just okay, but there's some power there. Technique is still coming a long way. 23-year-old, ultra-confident. His brother fights as well. So I'm going to go with him. I'm going to go minus 125. I'm going to go Ashgabov. I don't love it. I don't know if I'm going to play it. It's a low number. Again, Jamel Emmers does have that wrestling that is scary, right? The wrestling it scares people off, scares me off a little bit. He could wrestle. I think he does have better wrestling than Ashgabov. But go ahead and give me the Russian. And making his debut, 23-0 after making his debut. Might regret it. But again, he's not like a minus 500 favorite. He's fighting a good guy in Emmers. He's fought everyone. Minus 125 is something I can live with. Let's just play the money line on that fight. Let's see how it goes. UFC debut, money line spot. Let's not get crazy now. Money line it is. All right, next up. I'm fired today. Leah Landsberg, plus 370 versus Maria Buono Silva, minus 460. This line's obviously moving like crazy. Leah Landsberg, legend in the game. She's 40-something years old. She's tough as dirt, if dirt's tough. Don't know if that's an expression. You know, she's been in there with everyone, but Maria Buono Silva is a girl who I've overlooked a lot. Great armbar. And I always thought, if someone can avoid that armbar, they be good. Some people can't. It's that good. Her striking's good. She's tough. She's confident. I'm going with Silva here. Not going to touch her any which way besides send them home. Pack your bags, Lena. Going back to Sweden with the loser. Yeah, I mean, how can you not take the biggest favorite on the card? She, you know, against the oldest woman, oldest fighter on the card. Is she older than Jim Miller? I think she's older than Jim Miller. Hey, how old are you, Lena? 40. Older than Jimmy Miller's. So it's a pretty easy layup here. The line is absolutely crazy. If you want to throw her in a parlay, because again, the card's thin, so you got to pick your spots. We're not going to just pass. You got to pick your spots. If you want a sure thing, I think this is probably it. I could have been a chump and gave you this as my mortal lock. I didn't. I think she's going to roll here, right? I mean, Lena is crafty on the feet and has been there forever. or been fighting forever and been in there with everyone. But I think Silva is just kind of in the groove right now. All right, next up, we got Jimmy Miller. God, I love Jim Miller. Plus 200 versus Alexander Hernandez, minus 240. Hernandez has got a rude awakening, right? This dude knocked out Benny Dariush debut, gets the Cowboy co-main event, or at least on the press conference stage, talk all that good shit, lose the Cowboy. That might have been Cowboy's like last win, right? Got brought back to reality, hasn't really found that groove since, went to 45. Billy Q said, nah, you ain't coming to my weight class. Fucked him up, finished him. He's been finishing his last two. His last win was against Mike Breeden, who's no longer in the UFC. Then you get Jim Miller, the old dog, the old vet, you know, three-fight win streak against hand-picked opponents. I'll give him that. Hernandez is the bigger, stronger, more powerful guy, but you got to go Jim Miller at this number, plus 200. Alex Hernandez was a Texas boy. I'm fighting out of my hometown of Texas. Went up to Colorado. It's bounced around. Don't know where he did this camp out. He took it on short notice, I believe. So you don't know where he did the camp out. But you got to go Jim Miller just for the simple number and the simple fact that if you pick against Jim Miller, you're a scumbag. Jim Miller's like the nicest, greatest guy ever. He's going to fight the UFC 300, debuted at UFC 89. This is his 41st UFC fight. The guy's a man, right? I mean, Hernandez does have big power. Could he land a shot on Jim Miller and lock him out? Absolutely. Could he take Jim Miller down? Because Jim Miller, you know, he's good off his back, but sometimes he does get smothered a little bit. Absolutely. Jim Miller, can he fight a hard three rounds at 38 years old with 41 UFC fights? Possibly not, right? There's a lot of ants. But when you're hanging Jim Miller plus 300, the guy can crack. The guy's crafty. What he lacks for in speed, he has in timing. His submissions are great. He'll choke your fucking, take your fucking neck, take your arm, whatever he's got to do. His back control is amazing. So yeah, I'm going to take Jim Miller. Alex Hernandez is better come out here and play it safe. He better play it safe. And if the numbers were closer, I maybe would take a look at Hernandez as like maybe like a minus 135. Minus 240 is just way too high for a guy who's battling some kind of crisis right now mentally. You know what I mean? I just can't do it. Next up, Thick Willie. William Knight, minus 110 versus Marcin Prakhtchenko, minus 110. Dead pick him. I love pick 'em fights. I hate this one. I have no idea. William Knight missed weight two fights ago by 12 pounds. Last fight was at heavyweight. Looked like shit. Got knocked out by Devin Clark. The fight that he won against Alonzo Menifield, his last win, he looked like shit. I thought Menifield won. So this is a scales fight. You got to watch the scales. My pick right now is Prakhtchenko. I don't like Marcin Prakhtchenko. I think when he came to the UFC with a little bit of hype, he's overrated. Got knocked out three times. Got two wins. Coming off of Felipe Lins' loss. His striking's just okay. He's got good kicks. His hands are a work in progress. Don't know much about his ground game, but he is a bigger guy. William Knight's short and thick. I think the reach is obviously on Prakhtchenko's side. If he stays that distance, it's going to be great. William Knight's going to need to throw those haymakers, get in close, take the fight to the ground. That's a good path to victory. But what fucking kind of shape are we showing up in here, Willie? Thick Willie, you better weigh 204.5. Don't come in at 206. Don't take that pound allowance. Let people know you're for real coming at 204.5, half pound under the limit, and let people know Thick Willie's back, right? Because I think William Knight, he's athletic, he's strong, he's powerful. He could win this fight. But what we've seen the last couple times out, I don't know if he's winning this fight. So give me Prakhtchenko. If he wins, it'll probably be by a boring-ass fucking decision. This is probably going to be a pass. I don't like passing on pick 'em fights. I love picking them, and I like being right. But God damn it, I don't know the side on this one. I don't even know how to attack this fight. Give me Prakhtchenko for the reach. But, dude, if he gets hit one time, he folds like a lawn chair. Ah, man, give me Prakhtchenko. I may switch my pick, which I never, ever, ever do. But give me Prakhtchenko right now. All right, next up, Josh Parisian. Versus plus 195 versus Jamal Pogues. Pogues? I think it's Pogues. I got a kid went to high school. His last name was like that. It was Pogues. Minus 230 for Pogues. Jamal Pogues, two-time contender series winner. Didn't get signed the first time. Went back. Got signed on a thin card. Heavyweight, long, good striker. Comes from the Joe Stevenson camp out of California. Seems like he has decent cardio for a heavyweight. Fought two good guys in the contender series where he won. He didn't beat Scrubs. He won against some decent competition. Then you get Parisian here, man. Look at Parisian's UFC record. Let's just look at his record, right? another Contender Series alum. He's 6'4". He's an inch taller than Pogues, who's 6'3". What's the reach? 79 on Parisian. Let me look at Pogues, because that's going to matter here. 77. 2 inches. We're going to be okay. Because the athleticism sides on Pogues. All right, so look at Parisian's UFC record, right? He's 2-2 in the UFC. He's another two-time Contender Series fighter, which I forgot about. So he comes in the UFC, loses to Parker Porter. The Steakhouse, baby! Parker Porter, who's probably not going to be with UFC anymore, although it is the heavyweights. Then he gets a split decision win over Rogue Martinez. Rogue Martinez is like 5'6", heavyweight, right? And he got a split decision over Rogue. Dontell Mays lost. Elbows from Crucifix. Dontell Mays has really upped his game. His grappling has gotten tremendously better. But round three, Crucifix, you know, it's going to happen. Alan Badeau, who's maybe one of the worst fighters UFC's ever signed. Ground and pound round two. Round one was competitive. So then you get Jamal Pogues, who I think does have good stand-up. Good kicks. Decent striking. Parisian, I think, is going to maybe want to slow it down and try to get him to the ground. But I don't think that's going to happen. So give me Pogues here, man. Give me Pogues, another slimeball candidate. I hate betting heavyweights, man. But, this could be a live bet, too. If Parisian starts to kind of maybe take over. Because Pogues, I think, does have good gas. But, you know, at least he's shown it. He can go three rounds. He did in the Contender Series. But, again, you know, this is UFC level. This is different. I'm going to stay confident with Pogues. This is a small nuts on your table. Shouldn't be 230, even though Josh Parisian is not good. He at least has UFC experiences. But his two wins, he barely got by 5'6", Rogue Martinez. And then Rogue Martinez might not be 5'6". He's very short for the division. And then Alan Badeau, great. You finish him in the second round. Who fucking cares, man? Give me Jamal Pogues. I like what I've seen. His biggest issue in his career is when guys get him down and submit him. Parisian might be a fucking McDonald's black belt somewhere. I don't know. I don't see that happening. I see it being a stand-up battle, and I see Pogues probably winning a decision here. Am I really going to have the slime ball rely on a decision? I guess, man. I mean, what other options do we have? You know what I mean? This is Jamal Pogues. Fuck it. We'll go heavyweights. Nuts on the table. My daughter, I share this on Instagram. She came up to me. She has this little clay set we got her for Christmas. She goes, I hope your slime bets won. And she made a little slimer for me. I mean, shot to the heart. Look at this thing. Unbelievable. So I got it sitting on my desk. So I'm staring right at it. It's telling me Jamal Pogues, babe. All right, co-main event, if you want to call it that, Zach Puanga. -275 versus Jordan Beverly Hills Ninja Wright, +230. So the play is the under. The under 1.5 is the play. And I happen to have that number because slimeball candidate. Boop. -180. That's the play. Under 1.5 is the play. Paga got knocked out by Mo Usman. Looked okay. 34 years old. Only has 6 fights. Jordan Wright comes out a bat out of hell. The guy is just intense the entire time he's there. He's got good weapons. Offensively, Jordan Wright's good. Defensively, no. Chin, no. Cardio, no. Fight IQ, no. But he's got that one thing. He knows how to come forward. He knows how to hurt you. Poango coming off a knockout loss over Usman. He's not untouchable. He's crackable. Jordan Wright's can probably knock out anybody within the first 2 minutes. That's how dangerous he really is. He fades, and then the fight IQ goes. Defense goes. Chin goes. I've never, ever, ever picked Jordan Wright. Ever. I'm not going to bet Jordan Wright. Maybe I'll bet on my knockout. Maybe I will talk myself into that. But the pick is Jordan Wright. That's the dog pick. Dog picks Jordan Wright, right? Did I give you my send him home? Yeah, okay. So I got, I'm getting confused. We'll go over the locks at the end of the show. Jordan Wright's the pick, but the real pick's the under 1.5 at -180. Let's go. Take it to the bank. Main event. Jesus Christ. What a main event, right? By the way, I keep looking out this window. If that fucking mailman show, I don't care if I'm recording. I don't care. You guys will take a little bit of a break. If I had a long enough cord, I'd bring the fucking mic with me so you can hear me at the conversation with him. Dead air.
Dead air.
All right. Main event. Jessica Andrade, -190. Aaron Blanchfield, +160. I got these yesterday. MMA Twitter loves Blanchfield. Everyone that I see that makes plays is on Blanchfield. So let me get an updated line for you. Jessica Andrade, -150. Aaron Blanchfield plus 130. Now, I broke this down in the Anakin Florin, so I've done my due diligence. And I love Jessica Andrade. One of my favorite fighters on the roster. She's amazing, exciting, incredible. Aaron Blanchfield is like one of my number one prospects that I have a real keen eye on. She's very good. Kieran, MMA Takes number one fan on YouTube. Kieran, my guy Kieran, DMs me almost weekly, almost every other day. Definitely weekly, almost every other day. Pictures of Aaron Blanchfield from her Instagram, Twitter, whatever. And he's obsessed with her, like physically, like wants to marry her. She's 23 years old. Not sure how old Kieran is. Not sure if he's married or in a relationship. And if his wife's listening to this, girlfriend listening to this while he's in the car with her, I apologize. But he likes her, right? And I like Andrade, not in that way, but I like Andrade. You know, I'm not her type. She likes the opposite sex. You know, she doesn't like my equipment. But Andrade's one of my favorite fighters. So I looked at this fight, and I initially leaned on Andrade. I said, if Aaron Blanchfield can't get takedown, she's fucked. Andrade is powerful. Threw almost 400 strikes in the Lauren Murphy fight. Stuffed every takedown. There was one mat return. Stuffed every takedown. Laying at 231. Threw almost 400. Threw 369. And barely broke a sweat. Cardio amazing. She took this fight on short notice. Supposed to be Sal Santos. Took it on a week's notice. And Aaron Blanchfield, though, goes, cool, whatever. 23 years old. So she might have some people in her corner hyping her up, going, you're that good. You will fight anybody. Or this is a classic case of you're biting off more than you can chew. So this is definitely going to be a live bet for me. I got to see how the fight plays out. Aaron Blanchfield's my pick. She's my dog lock.
Okay, this is dog.
Dog lock. Initial read right now when you look at the stats. I go back to the Shevchenko fight. Yes, that Shevchenko, pound for pound, best fight in the world. Going back to the Shevchenko fight, she took Andrade down 7 times and then finished her on the ground. Aaron Blanchfield could arguably have better wrestling than Shevchenko. Does she have the better top pressure? Does she have better strikes? But Aaron Blanchfield is coming off 2 finishes. Good submissions, good top pressure. She gets Andrade down, different kind of fight. Andrade's taking us on a week's notice. I know she has 63% takedown defense in the UFC. That's not perfect. She can get taken down. But can she get back up? It's the old Alexander Volkanovski. Yeah, you're going to get me down, but I'm getting back up, bitch, right? If she gets back up and starts piecing her up on the feet, because we haven't really seen a lot of Aaron Blanchfield stand up, it's good. It's not great. She's 23. She's improving. You know, if the more I talk about it, I could talk myself into Andrade, but I like the number. Plus 160 is what I've written down. It's currently plus 130. Don't have a bet right now. The line is moving. A lot of sharps are on Blanchfield for good reason. So that's it. That's the card. I want to keep this under 40 minutes. We're at 38. Sorry about the rant in the beginning, but man, it just fucking eats me up. All right. So recap before we get to the slime ball, dog lock, Aaron Blanchfield plus 130, currently on DraftKings again, line moving. Mortal lock, Nazim, Nas, Saudi Cop, minus 170. Again, that line might be moving as well. Then we got Send Him Home, Maria Bueno Silva. The only way to play that fight, she's too high. Women's MMA, that's way too high. You got to play her by some kind of finish inside the distance. Armbar is her move. She could also knock her out, whatever. So that is it. So let's get to the slime ball. There was a comment made, and I can't remember if it was YouTube, Instagram, or Twitter. Can't remember. I wish I remember the guy's name. I apologize. You called me out of my shit. You called me out of my bullshit. I've sat here and told you guys, you don't mix props with moneyline parlays. You just don't do it. Christian, my buddy, the sharp, he goes, you definitely do that. We all have our different betting strategies. We all bet different, right? I've really generally have never done that, except I've done it a few times last year. And I think I maybe brought it up again this year, maybe with the Gilbert Burns thing, when I was wrong about the same game parlay. And the guy goes, hey, I thought you didn't do that, right? Very friendly. I thought you don't moneyline, and you're right. I'm a phony. I'm a fraud. I've said don't do that. Well, I'm doing it again on this one. A slime ball parlay is Nazim Sadikov, mortal lock, leg one, leg two, Jamal Pogues. Shaky. That's a shaky leg two. But leg two, leg three, under. Wright Paunga, 1.5 minus 180. You're looking at plus 234. Juice. Juicy parlay. Woo! That's it. Thank you for calling me out, because I'm fraught. Because when fight cards get this thin, you got to start finding ways. So let's just cash tickets, and we'll worry about my phoniness later. Thank you for watching Brian PG MMA on Twitter. One last thing. I was going to release the t-shirts to the world, right? And I know it's not a big deal. People watching are probably like, bro, we don't give a fuck, right? But I've been really diligently working to get some new t-shirts in a really good site that ships fast, that we don't have any fucking problems, that's good quality, whatever. And I think I found that. Problem is, I don't own any of the shirts. This is an old shirt, right? I ordered some for myself, or at least I'm going to. I'm going to tomorrow. I'm ordering some for myself. I at least have to try them on before I can co-sign on them. I have 5 shirts right now, couple stickers. I'm going to make 2 more. I'm going to order the 5. I got 2 more I need to make, and then I'm going to release it to the world. Then I'm going to show you. It's going to be linked to my YouTube and everything. There's going to be discount codes I'm going to give away and shit. It's like a real deal thing, but I can't co-sign on it, and the t-shirt's showing up like fucking cardboard boxes, soft and stiff. Can't do it. I'm a t-shirt guy. I know what feels good. So wait till I get them. Then I'm going to premiere it. I know I said it on the last podcast. I rushed everything. I apologize. All right, that's it. That's the show. Hit that subscribe button, baby. Sorry for my energy today. I'm already a pretty high energy guy. And I had a podcast juice at work. Haven't had one. Well, I'm drinking one now, but it's not caffeine. It's me fucking keyed up. And I got a really good night's sleep. So let's win some money this weekend, huh?
Perfect week for Brian Petrie yet again. Motherfuckers. Let's make some picks with our man Brian Petrie.